For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And they did it, Leaf fans. Finally, 19 years without a series win is over. How are we feeling?
Woo!
Here's our rattle, and we got our, from 1993, got my cap. Syl, this is our outfits for today, by the way. We got our chains here, and I'm wearing my Rick Vive captain my Rick Vive captain jersey. And yeah, no, it's how are we feeling anyways? How are we feeling, Syl? Day after the big win.
I think I'm still a little shell-shocked, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I'm out of practice with this, Chris. You know, like there was a few years there where we were getting used to being on this side of the fence. And yeah, so it's difficult to kind of know how to feel. It's like, yeah, it's so exciting. I'm so happy for Leafs Nation. I'm happy for all the fans out there. I'm happy, beyond happy, for my kids, one of whom, the youngest, has never been alive for a playoff series victory. So, right. And you know, even my two oldest were so young the last time it happened. One of them was like, two. So they don't even really remember how any of this feels. Yeah. And certainly in their, you know, kind of, you know, early adult existence, this is all brand new for them. So like all the kids out there that were celebrating on the streets, I am so happy for them. I don't care what the rest of the hockey world thinks about us celebrating this way. I think that we totally deserve it.
Yeah, that's a bunch of garbage. Like, I mean, it's like flipping both ways, basically, right? Mm. Going from one extreme, saying, oh, 19 years, 18 years, blah, 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 without a series win, you're cursed, da, 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 da. And then now, oh, look at them. They're celebrating because it's like they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. No, that's not really, what we were celebrating. No. It was 19 years of pent up excitement being finally let out. And for one, I'm here for that.
Yeah. And like you said, there's a whole generation that has not seen anything like this. So for that, I mean, otherwise I'd definitely be down there if I was that age too, down on the street partying. Cause that's what we did back in 93 and the 2000, like early 2000, that we were down there celebrating. But yeah, no, it was just great. It was a great feeling, and we're still going strong today. That's for sure.
Yep. Finally coming down a bit. Finally, you know, we have to gather our thoughts and but really, really pumped. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of this, you know, like we're talking about our reaction, but what about the reaction of the team? So like, what are your thoughts on some of the things that we saw, you know, post game and how the team reacted?
Yeah. So obviously it was on the ice first. I think like just after JT scored that goal, and I don't know, I keep watching it over and over again. Morgan Riley's reaction skating, like he wasn't skating. I don't even know if he went to John Tavares at all, like to celebrate with him in the goal, because all I see is this highlight of him skating to the Leaf bench, and he's like, and just that face, it reminds me of Gary Roberts' face,
right?
But not so much Dougie, let's just say, but Dougie was a little bit skinnier, I guess, in the face in his when he had the black eye and everything, right? But somehow Gary Roberts, I'm thinking of him and that face, and he was And he's like screaming, yeah. He's like, right, because he can't. And he's the longest tenured Leaf. And right. Just, I was just so happy for him. So that's the one reaction that I saw. The other one was after the game, I guess. Jake Muzzin was there meeting, I guess, the players going to the room. And he gave Matthews like a big, huge hug sort of thing. And it was just, I just love that to see him the way he's, like, he's had that connection with the team all year. And just to see, you feel bad for the guy, but you feel good because he's there and they're keeping him a part of that, of the team. Yeah.
Okay. I full disclosure, I haven't seen that, but I'm probably going to go watch that on repeat right after this. Cause like I said, I was so shell shocked that I didn't even know what to do with myself after the game last night, as far as looking at post game and all of that stuff. But for me, a couple of the other reactions that really stood out, were, the Leafs bench. So like you mentioned Morgan Riley coming up there, but like, I don't think I've ever seen the coaching staff. Like, first of all, Keith's face was like so red. I was like worried he was going to have a heart attack. And he just jumped up and he could have scored like a dunked a basket. He jumped so high. And just they were so, so excited. And then Ryan O'Reilly, his reaction, like he just was like, I don't know. It was great. Like I really felt like in that moment, like he's been on our team forever and he's been through this whole journey all these years with these guys, and he hasn't, but his reaction felt like that. And then Matthews giving the huge hug. I'm not even sure. I can't remember who he hugged, but big full on hug. And then just looking to the heavens like this.
I think it was Kelly Yarncroke, but I'm not sure.
Anyways,
that part where he's looking to the heavens, like you're saying, it was just like, that's the feeling of all Leafs Nation, I think.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So, and then, you know, up in the press box, Kyle Dubas and Spezza, you know, they're our go-to guys. I think they're going to be our go-to guys for however long they go. They're always going to be looking for their reaction. But I just felt so good for him. And yeah, he was very red in the face also.
Yeah. I thought he was going to kill
vindication.
Spezza. I thought he was going to kill Spezza, like the way he just like kind of, it was almost like Spezza, he expected it, but he didn't. It was just like, he was going to knock him right over.
Yeah.
Like,
it was very aggressive happiness.
Yeah, I loved it. I just loved that. Right. It was just so happy for all of them. And they deserve to celebrate that. Right. Like, I mean, they were saying the right things after the game, though. We'll get into a little bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Which that's where my mind went to. Oh, and one more thing that I loved how they were showing, and even last game as well. I loved how they showed Matthew's parents. And I loved the how they showed the embrace of father and son afterwards.
Yeah,
actually kind of makes me a little emotional. Yeah. I thought that just said it all to me.
And the other, I guess the other thing, I guess you should watch, and Leaf fans there, if you haven't watched it already, the Leaf Blueprint, the little clip that gave me tears.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
That gave me tears. Well, we tweeted it out anyways too, but I had some tears just earlier today. So it was just like, it was just tears of happiness, and it was great.
The one thing that I will say is that they went back to that little puck thing that they put the pucks in that I have criticized beyond belief leading up to this. But I will say that it doesn't have the Stanley Cup on it. Like the original version, the version they had before when they did that, Amazon show, had the Stanley Cup in the middle. This one just has the Leafs logo in the middle. And I think that is a big difference, is that it's not about the outcome now. It's about the team. And
a lot of team, I don't know a lot, but I saw Dallas Stars have that same thing. Actually, they have a same plaque they have with the puck thing or whatever.
But, I just noticed that little bit of a difference between the picture on it before was the cup, and this time it's the Leafs logo. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that because I knew you didn't like that last year.
No, I didn't, but I'm okay with it because I think that it shows a mental shift in the way they're looking at it. And I think that they've taken a page out of Cooper's book. Now they're looking at that process over outcome. Like that's what he likes to preach. So I think it's I think that's kind of the thinking that they have as well.
Yeah. Oh, and another great reaction was Biznasty, the spitting chicklets.
Yes,
oh,
I saw that. God. I did see that.
Yes. Yeah, that was fun. I love that.
Can they not just get him on Hockey Night in Canada? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It would be so much better. I mean, how come it's okay for him to be a homer on an American feed and we can't have any homers on our national feed? Like that is to me ridiculous. I mean, they can be a homer for any of the Canadian teams when it's their broadcast, but come on.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. I think we were both able to sync up our feed to Bonesy and Ralph last night. So it was much more enjoyable. Although I will say, it was also a little bit more stressful because the reaction was just so much more emotional. Yes. So, like it's a little bit more monotonous when you're listening to Hockey Night in Canada. So,
yeah, but I love Jim Ralph though. The just the whole
what
idea.
What do we do now?
Yeah, and just to when the penalties at the start of the game when Tampa got the two penalties and it was just like he was like, okay, it's like you know the next one, like it has to come, like it's gonna go against the Leafs, and it was automatic, like
so, and I know I mean I don't know where if we want to talk about that or, but one of the things, like I actually was listening to some post game from the Leafs the Leafs post game podcast with JD Bunkus, Sam McKee, and Justin Bourne, and they were actually talking about that and wondering why the league is so like that, where it has to be even. And I honestly think, I was thinking about that, and I honestly think it's because the kids and referees, they all grow up in the system of minor hockey where it's fair play. It's keeping it even. It's like everybody having their chance and to participate and trying to keep it fair. I actually think that that's where it comes from, because it's ingrained in them to make it as even as possible from a very early age. And somehow, like, they don't need to be doing that in the professional game. But I think because these refs kind of grow up out of that system, I wonder if that is part of the reason why it's this way.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But whatever. It didn't end up hurting us or anything.
And no, it didn't.
I mean, we didn't do anything on our power plays either. But.
No. And there was a high-sticking non-call that actually went in our favor for a change.
Yes.
So that evens things up from 1993, 10 years ago.
Sort of.
Maybe a little bit, because that was in a more important game than
exactly.
this. But
yeah. Okay, so we're going to give a shout-out to @Matt_Curtis on Twitter, who gave us a thumbs up by telling us that he loves our podcast. So thank you so much. And, of course, we love hearing from our listeners. So just a reminder, you can leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify. A simple click on Spotify. 5 stars, of course. Right, we always want the 5 stars. Even 4 stars is good, but no.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it and leave a comment, DM us, letting us know and what you think of our show. And that just keeps us motivated too, even though we are always motivated to talk Leafs.
Yeah. to be fair, we would talk regardless.
You can pretty much tell. Yeah.
And also, you can find us on YouTube now. So please watch us and listen to us there. And if you do watch, you can see our different get-ups that we are going to wear every show. We're going to try to amp it up a little bit more, depending on how far the Leafs go. So be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and that you can find at our handle, which is @LTL1917. And you can see videos that we post after games, because we are going to be going to as many of the playoff games as we can possibly go to. And we post during the regular season as well. So anyway, now it's time to get on with the show. And of course, we're going to start with even more Leaf talk than we've already had. We're going to go through games 4 to the series clinching game 6. And then we're going to run our Ladies Talking Leafs playoff highlight reel.
And in our third period segment, we're going to go around the league to look at some of the other series and as to where they sit and the status of all these teams going into the second round. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So game number four. That was a thriller, actually. We're going to spend a little bit of time on each one, but obviously game six we'll talk about the most probably. But game number four was a big OT win. It's funny how these OT wins are going in our favor this year, but which is great. 5-4, Alexander Kerfoot scoring the OT winner. And that was actually a comeback win too, with they were down, being down 3-1 in the third period. They were down 4-1. Yes. Right. Cause they had to come back three goals. Yeah. Got that wrong. They had this massive comeback with AM34 Austin Matthews leading the way with his two goals. And you knew, or at least, I don't know, I felt it. You could see after he scored that first one to start the comeback in the third, like you could just see it in his eyes that he knew that like this was going to happen. The comeback was going to happen. And yeah, and I just thought it all started there. And of course, I didn't have the overtime winner on TV. I wasn't really watching it.
Yes,
I couldn't.
But you know what? Like that's, you got to keep doing it now. I was sad to say, but yeah, I have to agree with you with Matthews there. His reaction after he scored the first one and how he just was like, just ready to rally the troops to keep going. That really reminded me of like classic Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
You know, hurry up offense and just basically winning the game like within the last 2 minutes. Like that's the same mentality. And I feel like great players show up in big moments like that. And yeah, so he definitely was the quarterback of that comeback. And, honestly, we talked about it in the last, episode with game three, how that was normally a game that we would lose. For sure, this was normally a game that basically, this is the difference, is that in the past, if we got behind that far, they would be thinking of the game loss in the end, instead of thinking of the next goal and thinking of the process and thinking of, you know, just the next play. Haven't done that.
Yeah. And the big thing in that game too, was like Samsonov he stopped the penalty shot there too on Hagel, like that, to stop that. And then, because I mean, obviously letting in the four goals, it's obviously for goals against average, like that's not the greatest, but again, he made the timely saves in this series, and they were big saves. That was one of them. And then there was another one towards the end of the game before overtime. I think it was Nick Paul. But we just managed to get it. And it's funny how it's like the overtimes they weren't long either. Like it was
thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah, they weren't that long. So so that was game number four. And then there's game number five.
Yeah, so game number five was a 4-2 loss at home. Morgan Riley scored first, but Tampa got right back in it. And again, it seemed like they were going for that kind of 11th hour comeback. I think Matthews scored to get us within one. But then they had the empty netter and we couldn't quite get it to overtime in that game.
Yeah, and so, that one there, I think it's like you said, it's like the air was sucked out of the building as soon as I forget who scored that tying goal with, I think it was Braden Point, but I'm not positive, on Thursday night on game five. But it just, because the building erupted when Riley scored that first goal, and he was just like with his hands, he was like egging them, like he was like so happy himself. But then, of course, there was our friend Justin Hall that kind of, we won't bash him or anything. I think he's had enough of that. But he was on the ice for quite a number of the goals. And just to have the Tampa score the goal immediately back, it just didn't, It didn't give the crowd any life to keep it going. I mean, it was a good crowd. All the crowds there at Scotiabank Arena were good. But it just sucked the life a little bit out of the building right away. And then, yeah, and then we, Tampa basically fed off of that and just kept going. I mean, obviously they're a good team. They're a good team. Great team, whatever you want to call it. I don't know right now, but yeah, so they managed to get the victory 4-2, on Thursday night. And yeah, I don't know. I was thinking after that game, I wasn't sure about the mindset of the team after that. I was just like, okay, well, I hope that I was hoping like they wouldn't start thinking about whatever. Oh yeah, here we go again, kind of thing, right? In the elimination games, and that's what basically all the haters out there. That's what they were saying, right? So,
But you know what? I didn't get that sense. I didn't get that feeling, and I kind of feel like the way they started to come back, got back into it. It's like this was seemed to be what they sort of have done like throughout the series is that. You know, they kind of gained a little bit more momentum as the game wore on. Like even if you, especially I find like looking at the face-off percentages, like throughout the courses of the game, like that really showed it a lot. Like we were getting really killed on the dot in a lot of the games, especially early on. But then we started to kind of chip away at that and improve as the game went on. And I kind of felt like that sort of was a microcosm to what was happening on the ice. And, but I just think that in that game, for whatever reason, we just couldn't get it all the way back. And of course, they should realize that, you know, you shouldn't make it that hard on yourself every time. We could use to have a few more games like game two, but so I didn't really kind of get the feeling that they were too down on their game overall.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that led to some of the adjustments, because I think what happened also is Tampa made some big adjustments. Like they really cut off our zone entries and we just were not able to break through to their end a lot of the time, especially for the first part of the game. So,
And then they also obviously that. Is it Taylor Janot or Tyler Janot?
Tyler Janot.
Yeah, they took him out in game. Well, he didn't play last night either. I didn't hear his name. So I think that was a because I think he's injured, like from that whatever happened in the game towards the end of the regular season there for him where his leg folded back. I don't know. I don't think he's 100%. I don't even know why he was playing in the series. But and they put another player in. I can't pronounce his name, so I won't. The guy, but he made a difference in that game in game number six, game number five. So yeah, but I mean, we were there too for game number five, so that that kind of sucked.
Didn't get the win for us that night.
No. So but then we went on to game number six, and I mean, I said it, Leafs in six, right? I thought, and that's what was going on in on Twitter, hashtag Leafs in six. But that was, as you know, as obviously everybody knows, 2-1 OT win. Austin Matthews got it started with a bullet of a goal. Let's just say that, and then the captain John Tavares finished it. It was just Again, I wasn't watching that part. Of course, I was waiting for everybody to text me, and I had a friend from Kingston area sending me a text, and then of course the final person was my mom again. So I think I have to
she has to keep that
I know.
Going.
I got to tell her that today. That it was just phenomenal. And I guess one stat I saw too, because it wasn't OT again. I really can't believe that it's OT, but the Maple Leafs are the first team in NHL history to win three overtime games as a road team in a single playoff series. So that's pretty impressive there for that. And then I have to say too, rest in peace, Johnny Bauer, but I mean, Samsonov had a great game too. Obviously throughout the series, but last night he was fantastic as well. He was dialed in, and yesterday to start the day, I retweeted NHL alumni had, they just gave a tribute basically to Johnny Bauer, and I retweeted it for the, in his memory, and our goalie, Ilya Samsonov, did Johnny Bauer well, let's just say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I just thought we didn't look nervous too, like at all, like from the start. No. Like, I mean, they were obviously they had the better first period anyways. Tampa did, like you could see, like they were really pushing and all that. But we, I think the adjustments that we going to the 11-7, I'll have to say that really did something. And I guess all that practice at the end of the regular season, playing the last however many games, that made a difference so that we didn't take any stupid, like too many men on the ice penalty or anything. Like we were focused. The players seemed, like you said, when you texted me during the game, like they needed a little bit of time to adjust, obviously, because it is different. And, but I think like Timothy Liljegren and Gustafsson, they both, for being the first time in the series, like they both played well for the limited minutes they had. And I'm sort of in a little bit of disbelief, but it's just like, it's it was just fantastic feeling. And I did my drive by to Maple Leaf Gardens on Thursday night. So praying to our hockey gods, and it seemed to have worked anyways for to get the win.
What well, I would say that it was a ballsy move by Keefe to go to the 11-7. That's something that I thought that they should do, and I was happy that they did that. I was really shocked, though, that it was going to be that he actually had the guts to take Hall out. And yes. I was surprised when both Liljegren and Gustafsson got in as well.
It was funny too with Michael Bunting. We haven't mentioned Scarborough at all.
Yeah.
He had good shifts, obviously, sort of thing, but it's just like you didn't notice any of the shenanigans. Like
but I think neither team could afford the shenanigans. So I think that's part of the reason why there wasn't any, because even Tampa, I think the shenanigans got shut down really early because Maroons tried to start something right at the get go. There, but Shen shut that down pretty darn quick. And and then after that, there was really nothing. Like, you know, I didn't notice Corey Perry much at all after that. And of course, I think that he got hurt in the end as well.
You think he got hurt from being hammered by McCabe there? Because Jake McCabe,
I think so.
He hammered him pretty good. Like he knocked him down. So that was, that was a good highlight. It's going around Twitter a lot. Yeah.
So, I kind of feel like that was part of it, is that both teams knew that they couldn't afford any of that kind of stuff happening. Yeah. I think Gustafsson kind of got in a little bit of trouble on that first goal, but the fact that he didn't play Hall at all, I was so surprised. Like I thought that if they were going to go 11-7, he would still play, but they would just use him more for penalty killing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Liljegren, but he played great.
Yeah.
He did not miss a beat. I was like surprised. And he added definitely a dimension that we've been missing, because what have we been missing? A D man who could break the puck out of the zone and skate with it. And he can do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that, and I think definitely too, that helped Giordano too.
I'm
so happy for him too. I didn't realize that this is his first time getting past the first round as well.
Really?
Yeah.
In his whole career?
Yes.
Wow.
I read, hopefully that's correct, because if I'm not, sorry, but I read that on what, normally the followers like are on Twitter, the people that were following are like David Alter, Mark Masters. I'm sure it was Luke Fox of Sportsnet. That's generally when I'm thinking of things like that, it's coming from them. So they know their stuff. And I was so happy for him, like that is like, he's basically part of the group in a different way that way. Right.
Yeah.
Like getting past that first round. Right. So that was great. Another thing that was great that can shut the people up, I guess, is some of the people anyways that go with the whole thing about the core four or core five now. So yeah, Luke Fox actually tweeted out that the core five puts up 42 points in the first series win. So Marner had 2 goals, 9 assists. Matthews had 5 goals, 4 assists. Riley had 3 goals, 5 assists. John Tavares, 4 goals, 3 assists. And William Nylander, 2 goals and 5 assists. So, I mean, that pretty much they got it done. Like, they, you can't say that they, the money that they're getting paid or whatever, like, it's worth, like, they did their job this time. They showed off all of them. And I loved
Willie's. No floaters.
Another reaction.
Even though I still think you could see a little bit more out of Willie, but.
Yeah.
But for the most part.
Yeah. I loved
his. They all contributed.
Like the way we said in the, our last show, I guess, I was mentioning how Willie, like how he said he just wants to F and win sort of thing, right? But I saw on the Leaf blueprint on that clip, they showed him. He had his jersey off and everything, and Mitch was right in front of him, and he just looks at Mitch and he's just like, he's like shaking. This is in the dressing room. He was like shaking Mitch. Mitch was like, he was like he was like confused, sorry, the right, but Willie was just so excited. Just, it was great to see anyways, right? Just to see those two guys, like, and just part of being part of the core for so long and dealing with everything they've dealt with.
No, and I mean, like, I just think of their families as well. Like, you know, that, like, I just think about it even from like a hockey parent standpoint, you know, like, you know, when you're a hockey parent, even if your kids are in the NHL, it still feels the same, I'm sure. And it's just, everything is just bigger and more. And I can hardly imagine how the parents are feeling right now as well, like all their families. So that's just, it's great. So, I mean, but we still have, and to a man, they all said this, they haven't accomplished anything yet.
Yeah.
So this is great. They can put it behind them. And now we are going to move on to bigger and better things, hopefully.
Yeah, no, like Mitch Marner, there's a quote here. Mark Masters tweeted it saying, like, it's a, like, obviously it's special, like, for, well, obviously with John Tavares and him, like, being both on the, like, obviously Tavares scoring the winning goal, being both from Toronto and doing that for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And they want to do something special for this team. And, but they're not satisfied. Like he said that, he goes, right. He goes, there's a lot more things ahead and we're getting ready for it, or we're ready for it. So, and like Austin Matthews said the same thing, right? Like, it's a monkey off the back sort of thing, but, you know, there's bigger things that they're focused on. And it was great to hear that from leaders of the team. So, And the other stat here, one more before we get into the highlight reel, but the other stat I wanted to just mention was with Morgan Riley. He had 4 assists in game 2, the OT winner in game 3, the game tying goal in game 4, which sent it to OT, and then an assist on the OT series winner in game 6. So yeah, the guys, he was just a beast in this series. So it's just exciting, and we're excited. I'm very excited to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs playoff highlight reel. So let's get to it and roll it.
All right. So in the number 3 spot, we have Austin Matthews. So you could see it in game 4 with the comeback, with scoring 2 goals in that game. He was on a mission. He started it off for us in game 6 with a rocket of a shot past Vasilevsky. We've already really talked about it in depth, but he was definitely the star quarterback of a lot of this. And, he is on a mission, and, God, what a bulldog he is. And the fact that he's so solid and so strong, you know, Tampa Bay players were just bouncing off of him and could not get him could not strip the puck off of him, could not get him off the puck, especially on that goal when he scored that.
No, you could just see it in his eyes again, like after he scored that goal, like you knew that, like, he wasn't going to let us lose that game somehow. Like, it just, I don't know. I just felt that way. He, and like you're saying, just his strength on the puck. I don't know what he ended up in the faceoffs, like, it was interesting the way they, like, every draw they were losing, like, at one point, like, it was just but normally, like, he's always pretty strong on the draw, and he was just, he was just controlling the play out there, and being the 11-7 again, I think that really it gave him the opportunity to get more ice time, and playing with Mitch, and I thought they would actually put Bunting up there with them again, but they just stuck with well, they had Willie on there once too, or a few times with them, but yeah, no, he was definitely worthy of our number three highlight reel, that's for sure. So number two is our goalie, Ilya Sammy Never Break Samsonov. Oh God, what a guy. Even on Instagram today, he actually put on his story, he put like the team celebrating or whatever, and he just says, "Keep smiling." That's all he had is the caption. He put "keep smiling," and I could just see it. I was just like, oh my God, it made me smile, right? But yeah, he stopped that penalty shot on Hagel, like I mentioned, in game four. He has three overtime wins in the series. He came up with some huge saves in game number six on Braden Point with about 8 minutes left, and then Ross Colton with about 3 minutes left. And yeah, last night, like in that series clinching win, he was dialed in, he was focused. There was really only maybe the very first game of the series, I guess, is the one that he was kind of swimming a little bit, and maybe
I was gonna say swimming Sammy is in the distant memory now.
Yeah He was a little bit unsettled on Thursday night as well in game number five, not quite as much, but yeah, no, he was fantastic, and he has that, when he is dialed in, like he just has that calmness, and Sheldon Keefe said that too, like at the end of the game, like the team fed off of that. They fed off that that calming energy from him.
Well, I think the fans do too.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
Like I was thinking back to previous series when we were down this way and we were, you know, had these overtimes or had to come back, and how I didn't feel that the possibility that we could, you know, and it was just much more depressing and frustrating. And I didn't feel that same level of frustration. And I think that it's partly owed to him. And, you know, we were talking many times about how we just need a goalie to steal us a game. And he's done, basically you could say he's done that twice in this series. So, that's what you need. You need somebody to be a rock back there to give our star players the time to be able to put something together in the offensive zone.
Yeah. So, he was fantastic, and just knock on wood that he stays healthy. I don't know. It's going to be interesting moving forward, because we did see Matt Murray was in, I don't know what his status is, but he was in the press box. They showed him for game number six. I don't know because he has concussion, that's what he's out with, and from that game versus the Habs way back when, and so I don't know, it'll be interesting to see moving forward what happens, but hopefully these extra few days off now we'll just get him recharged, basically re-energized for the next series, so he can start game number one.
Definitely. All right, so in our number one spot, of course, it's the captain, John Tavares. So with the exception of game five, maybe he was all over this series for the most part. He had the hat trick in game two, which was definitely, I think, a statement game that set up everything else that came after. So like it seemed like it was not as big a deal because we sort of ran over the Lightning that game, but they all came out on a mission, and he definitely was on a mission in that game. And anyway, with this overtime series clinching winner, he joins the overtime goal scorers club for the Leafs with players such as Bill Barilko, Lanny McDonald, and Nick Borshevsky. And to say, actually, Lanny McDonald, it was the anniversary of that goal last night. Yeah. So that I thought was a good omen. I had so many little omens, good omens popping up throughout the day, good signs. So I actually felt pretty good going into this game. But yeah, and literally seconds before he scored that goal, and I'm sure other people in Leafs Nation watching the game were saying the same thing, but I said, the captain has to do something here. And seconds later,
You know, he gets the Knies gets in behind the net. Yeah. Voracek's like a son of a gun, gets the puck out. He gets it out, and it went in.
Yeah. And we should, before we continue talking about the game with John Tavares, but he had a little girl this past week.
Oh my gosh.
It was just the John Tavares Foundation put that out on social media today. So congratulations to him. And that's unbelievable. Like, I don't know, I guess like, because it was this week, so I don't know. Hopefully he was there for it. But I mean, because obviously that's a pretty important thing in life. And
I think they needed to time that one a little better.
But it was congratulations anyways to him and his family for adding another new member to Leafs Nation she has a little jersey on. It's so cute and already. The overtime goal though, when Nick Borshevsky was mentioned there, I just remember I was reading that, I was looking out on my balcony here and I was remembering how I was at Sill's place in that year, 93, and Nick Borshevsky were at her apartment here in Toronto. And I went out on the balcony and screamed, basically, and woke up almost her entire neighborhood, their quiet neighborhood in Toronto. And I was thinking of doing the same thing, but then I thought, okay, no, that's okay. I'm a little bit older now. Maybe I should be a bit calmer. But
when you mentioned that, though, like now I'm thinking of that bench celebration right after that goal and how the city was just so, you know, taken up with that whole thing. And it was, again, that same sort of relief at that time. And that was even, you know, many, many years of misery coming out of the 80s. And so it's really similar feelings, actually.
Yeah, it is. Now that you think of it, like Pat Burns was like, like when he grabbed to shake the hand and hug the guy, like it was just like his assistants, like it was the same.
Yeah, remember like the trainer like threw up like all the
and the trainer threw that. Yeah. And then they showed Cliff Fletcher in the press box and they were all like jumping up and everything, right? Like so
really similar.
Very similar, yeah. Yeah, you're right that way. But the captain, I mean, you can't like he definitely came through and just I've been watching that overtime goal because I didn't see it right live there. I've been watching it practically all day long today and just he basically hung on to the puck for so long. He went up to the blue line and just kept going with it, gave it down to Marner. Marner was doing something in the corner there trying to obviously keep control of it, and then JT came back and took it back from him behind the net. And then he just turned around and shot it, and it went through Vasilevskiy. It was just fantastic. And
it wasn't Marner. It was Knies who's back there.
Oh, I don't know. I saw Marner back there too. I know Knies was on the ice, but anyways, I was watching it so many times. I was focused on Mitch and Riley too, because then Joe Bowen was saying Riley scored.
Oh, yeah, because it looked like he could have tipped it because he was right in front of the net, which is like actually incredible that, you know, this is how it's been so great that the D has kind of gotten into the play offensively because how much have we been saying that all year long that we don't get enough from our defense as far as goals and points. And so the fact that he was right in there on goal, I think that made it difficult for Vasilevskiy. And so I think they thought that it was tipped, right? So, but it wasn't. It was tipped, but it was off a Tampa player, not Riley.
And a shot to Islander fans out there too, because, you know, JT got it done for you guys that you celebrated so much to get a series clinching win years ago. And he did it for us. So thank you, Islander fans, right? You could hopefully you're enjoying your golfing season right now.
Yes. So I think that some of them are, I did see that there was a comment from an Islanders fan saying that they want the Leafs to do well, just not JT. But anyways, that's not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
For one not to do it with the other. So anyway, I want everyone to stay tuned as well later in the show. We're each going to give our star of the series and breakout star of the series as well. So now it's nice because we finish off our series in six and we get a few days of extra rest while we wait for the Bruins Panthers series to finish up game seven tonight. And isn't that one of the things that we asked for, them to be pushed to to game seven and to really beat on each other? So we definitely got that, which is good. So now it's time to talk a little bit about the other series that are still going on or completed in our third period segment.
Yeah, so let's start off the third period with our with that series, the Panthers and the Bruins. I mean, I am kind of a bit surprised that the Panthers managed to come back in the series and take it to seven now.
It didn't look good early on.
No, and I guess I don't know. Matthew Tkachuk wasn't even. Like, I don't know, I was not hearing his name in that series, like to say that he was doing what he can. But he played in game number six and number five, too. He was a force, like, in Boston to keep the series going. And yeah, I think he was the difference. But Bobrovsky was also has come to play finally. I guess that Alex Lyon, I think, initially started the series. With Florida in goal, and it comes down to it with Allmark. Like, again, they could have this fantastic, like, regular season and everything, and they can hug their goalies the way they jump up. Though they look like idiots there at the end of every game and during the regular season. But it's not the playoffs, and Allmark had like one game, I guess, prior to this. I think maybe he didn't have a game because he played with Buffalo. So Buffalo's hasn't made it in years, but before he came to the Bruins, but he's not having a great series, let's just say. And there was even questions whether or not in game number six if Swayman would have got in, but they went with Allmark again. And that was just a crazy game. I saw like it was seven to five. Like, the goals were just like coming all the time. I was just like, wow, this is a playoff game? Like, that was just unbelievable, the way the scoring was happening.
It'll be interesting to see who they start tonight, they do go with Swayman. But it's, well, you know, this is the thing. It's like when you're not tested in the regular season, it's really hard to then kind of ramp it up because you're getting all of your adversity in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough. They didn't really go through too much hardship during the regular season. And I don't know, I think Bergeron did play the last game, but I'm not sure that he's 100%. So that's kind of tough on them.
Yeah, but it's not Patrice Bergeron from 5-6 years ago either, right? Like, no. I mean, he has miles on him. So
yeah,
the injury, I mean, maybe he's fine, but that kind of injury or whatever the injury is, like, the older you get, right, as an athlete, it's just harder to get through it, especially in the intensity of playoff hockey. Like, it's not easy, let's just say. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I hope they beat up on each other tonight. Like, we all, Leafs Nation, I'm sure all of us want that to happen.
And, yeah, there's different factors, you know, when you look at, like, who would we rather get, you know, in the next round?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people want the Panthers. And I mean, I think that would be, I mean, they play a little bit more similar style to us. But then you've also got the question, like, they're coming off like a series where they basically got themselves back into it. And then if they win it, then they're riding that kind of, you know, motivation and energy. But then you talk about Boston, you know, there's also a case for wanting to get that monkey off of our back now, you know? So why wouldn't we want them, you know? And maybe they are not in the best shape right now, like we're saying, because they're an older team and everything. So I don't know. Hard to say. I don't really care which team we get.
Personally.
Whoever we get, we get. And I think that we can play with either of them. So that's all fine.
Yeah.
All right. So checking in with the other series that we didn't talk about last time, we're going to start with the Canes Islanders. it wasn't really very exciting series. And yeah. I think that Carolina, I think, has had the pretty much the easiest matchup going into this first yeah. round. Interesting, the goalies they decide to go with. But mm-hmm. I know you're going to do you want to talk about last night's game, the closeout? And who was in net?
It was Friday night. But yeah, they put Freddie yeah. in. Oh, yeah. I was happy for Freddie, right? He finally. And then it was funny, though, because we were wondering where was he all series? Like, because mm-hmm. he wasn't even backing up for, I don't even know if he backed up for any of the games. And he just showed up for game six. I don't think he was there prior to that. And he played. That's his first series win since playing with Carolina. Or sorry, with Anaheim, when he went to the So then,
well, that's what I mean. Like he just got a monkey off of his back.
Oh
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
all the Leafs ghosts that even went to other teams are now done.
And I think, well, somebody said on Twitter was hilarious because they said because he won that on Friday night and got the monkey off his back, that's a good omen for the Leafs for last night on Saturday night, right? Like it's just going to go into our game, right? And I mean, it happened, but whatever. I mean, it's just so funny how we connect all these things. It's kind of silly, but
only
whatever.
Leafs Nation would do that.
only Leafs Nation would think of that, right? As a good omen. But yeah, no, mm-hmm. I'm happy for Freddie. And actually, speaking of other like previous players, like during the whole 19-year thing, like you think of guys like JVR and Bozak and like Kadri, even though he's still playing with they're all still playing, although I don't know about Bozak, but like Phaneuf, like actually I was surprised Dion Phaneuf, like on his social media, he's not really like the team gave him quite a bit recently. I think it was last season, like they honored him for what he did for the organization. He still has a strong connection with Morgan Riley, and but he doesn't put nothing on his, like nothing to do with the Leafs. He's always on vacation. It's almost like the Joffrey Lupul thing. Like he's always showing vacation photos, nothing to do with the Leafs. But anyhow, I wonder with these alumni got like, or not alumni, but these former players, how they, like, I'm sure they're still connected with, like with this core, like because Bozak mm-hmm. and JVR, like they were here in the start when they were just coming in, right?
Yeah, so, they were a good line together, actually, yeah. with Marner.
And I'm sure that they send texts back and forth, that sort of thing. It would be cool to know that, but mm-hmm. but yeah. So, going back to the Canes and Islanders, though, Islanders are done. So Pierre Engvall can't be a star anymore, scoring all those goals that he did. And
he scored a few too many, yeah, or they yeah. would be in the next round.
I think with Islanders, I think it was just their goalie Sorokin. He was just he was fatigued. I think, like it just
well, yeah, because he just basically they played him into the ground pretty much during the season, and it's too bad. But again, that's the same sort of thing. Is that you with a lot of these goalies, you just don't know what you're going to get. And I mean, a lot of people could say the same thing about Samsonov. Like he's still somewhat unproven, but you know, he's past this first hurdle and some of these guys, it's going to take a few more disappointments to maybe get there. So
yeah. And
despite having great seasons,
one thing, I guess Sebastian Aho of the Canes, because there's the two, which I keep getting confused. Mm-hmm. There's one on the Islanders as well with the exact same name. But the one on the Canes, he had an awesome series as well for the Hurricanes. So, yeah, so congrats to Freddie and the Canes. And they don't do that, whatever it is, what do they call it? The storm surge thing? They don't do that in the playoffs, but.
No, that's good. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. That'd be really, really annoying and lame.
Yeah, it was. All right. So
anyway, let's cover a couple more, but we're going to make it a little bit brief.
Yeah. So the Wild
not go on too long.
So the Wild and the Stars. Stars took the series in six games. With that, the Wild basically had a big loss there. Erickson Ek. He was out for the series, I think, or maybe he only played the first couple of games, but he got injured, so that really hurt them. And I don't know. Stars just look like a big team. Like they look like a big mean team. I saw Jamie Benn's face, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's like he's a competitive guy." And Jake Ottinger in goal. It's fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw a bit of that series, and Stars deserve to win that one. Yeah, that's all I have to say for that one.
Well, shout out to our producer, Alex, for that one, because he's a Dallas Stars fan. So he will be very happy that they're going on to the next round. So the next game, next series we're going to look at is the Avs Kraken. Now, this is kind of a little bit shocking, because who would have thought that Colorado, for the last year's Stanley Cup champions, would be taken this far by the Seattle Kraken, who is like this is their sophomore season in the NHL as an expansion team. But very much similar to how Vegas was when they first started, Seattle has got a lot of really good teams, really good players. They play as a team. There's not too many guys that, you know, stand on their head. And the story there is Grubauer in net for the Kraken, and mm-hmm. he played for yeah. the Avalanche before. So, yeah, he's mm-hmm. really showing up for his current team now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. That's I was reminded of that when I was watching a little bit of their game six the other night. And, yeah, the Kraken, I mean, you got to obviously give them – kudos to them for taking it this far. I wanted them to finish in six, but I was hoping that they'd win, but they're going to go seven. And I don't know. I think Colorado is going to take it because it's at home, mm-hmm. but you never know.
Yeah. And they should be able to find a way.
Yeah.
But again, it just shows that any team can do damage in yeah. this first round, and it doesn't matter, you know, what yeah. you've done before or how good you were in the season. Yeah. I think they have struggled this season, the Avalanche. It hasn't been the easiest run for them.
Oh, for
the cap constraints have definitely, you know, put a number on their team, and they're missing a lot of key components that they couldn't mm-hmm. keep. Yeah. But you know, with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, you've always got a chance, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then the Kraken don't have Jared McCann that we were talking about before mm-hmm. the show, who's a 40-goal scorer, I believe. And
right.
So that takes a lot of out of their offense from that hit that he took from Cale Makar. Yeah, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens to that one going to seven. And yeah, and just I guess the quick mention going to the Jets losing to Vegas in five games. Won't get too much into that. That was quite interesting what Rick Bonus said after the game,
yeah.
calling out the players there. And
yeah, no, if that was a Leaf coach saying that, they would never play in the league again.
No, no. And then the Oilers beating the Kings in six games. Again, I like, obviously we all like Leaf Station loves Zach Hyman. And he did turn up to I was saying to Sil, because last show I said that Zach Hyman wasn't doing much. And then like that next game, it was game number four, I think it was, for the Oilers. And he scores the OT winner, or he scores in that game. So that was, mm-hmm. that was kind of funny. But yeah, so they're done in six games as well. And Draisaitl was a beast in that series, really. Mm-hmm. He was if he wasn't playing behind Connor McDavid, I think like everybody in the league would be talking about Leon Draisaitl. I think the way he played in that,
yeah, absolutely. He is built for the playoffs, I think, much more so than McDavid, in a sense. Like McDavid, obviously every team that plays him, they're going to key on him a lot. Yeah. But Draisaitl's style, he's a big body. He's more of a power forward type of guy. He's got a different style of game that really lends itself well to playoff success, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now we get to wait and see who the Leafs will play in round number two while still enjoying this huge first round series win. And before we go, though, we want to just each, like we mentioned before, we're each going to give our star of the series and our breakout star of the series.
So I am going with Ilya Samsonov. As we mentioned, you know, we've been yearning for a goaltender that we feel that we can really trust back there. He had a sort of a tough start to the series, but once he got his feet under him, he was so solid. And like we said, he stole a couple of games for us, and he basically has given, you know,
time and opportunity for the, for our stars to be able to be stars, because nobody is worried about what's going on back in that end. So, yeah, so definitely kudos to him, and a shout out to all the people blocking shots in front of him as well. So,
yeah, yeah. All right. And I'm going with, well, we're both really going with both of these players, but Morgan Riley is the others, the, our star, my star of the series. We already went through all the stats and what he did during the series. He was just so key to it and a key to winning it. And I just love before the game, before this game number six, he said, "We're confident in our group. We are here for a reason. We've played good hockey. We beat them in the series before, so we believe we can do it again. And there is no doubt." So, like, he's a cat. Like, he's captain material, really. Like, I mean, he's the longest tenured Leaf. He did everything in this series. Like, I don't know. I see him as like a bona fide number one. The way he played in this series, just the minutes that he played and just the way he controlled the play on the ice when he was on. And yeah, so he's my star of the series, definitely.
And he's totally deserving of that 100%.
Yeah. And I love his dad. Yes.
Yeah. So now we do have a couple of breakout stars as well. I it's always going to take some other guys to show up and chip in and do some things that they, you know, are kind of outside of themselves that they aren't normally known for. And in this series, we have two people that we want to give a shout out to. And that one is Matthew Nyes and the other is Luke Shen. I'll talk about Matthew Nyes a little bit. So Personally for me, because I love this kid so much. He was inserted. Like, who would have thought that there would be something good that came out of Bunting's suspension? But if you could say that, he is it, because he wouldn't have gotten into the series if it wasn't for that. Probably unlikely. Yeah. And the poise that he's been able to show, the skill set that he's shown, he's been on the ice for all three of the overtime goals and contributed to the plays. So definitely kudos to the kid. It remains to be seen how much he's going to play in this next round. I do think he's maybe getting a little bit tired. So I think he's played a lot of hockey in a short period of time. So maybe he needs a little bit of a break. But knowing, you know, that the coaches have a lot of trust in him, and he will, you know, perform when needed. So definitely a breath of fresh air, that kid.
Yeah. And we have an amazing training staff and medical staff to help him get through hopefully what is going to be a long playoff run here. But and Luke Shen, I mean, former Leaf, current Leaf. What more can you say with the way he was? I put it on our Instagram story, the joy in his face, like he was hugging John Tavares, like after he scored. It's just a great thing. I put it on the I put it on our story anyways. But he's like the minutes that he played for, like just his age. Like, I don't know exactly how old he is right now, but I mean, he's an older, obviously, NHL defenseman playing those hard minutes.
I think
minutes.
He's around JT's age.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like 32 or ish, something like that.
Oh, okay. So he's not that old yet then. Okay.
No.
He's not for hockey player universe, let's just say, right? Like, because that's definitely not old in your early 30s. But yeah. So, I mean, he did everything. I think it helped that, like, he played for Tampa before, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, it just knowing the little games that they play and all that, like, just with Maroon and Perry and all that, like, it's just he was able to just keep a check on that. And yeah, I just think it's great that he's back, and he's a person too that he openly said, like, he has an appreciation of being a Toronto Maple Leaf now than like when he was originally here, when it was really, obviously it was a tough go at that time. But yeah, So
what I would say, though, for him, though, is that, you know, beyond all of these other intangibles, like his play on the ice has been like a lot more than we thought we were going to get. Like, we got him for his toughness, for his stay at home play. Yeah, yeah. But who knew that we were getting the closeted Bobby Orr coming in to play, you know, like the actual plays he's made, the way he's been able to break the puck out of the zone. The fact that he's so solid back there, which has been able to give Morgan Rielly the ability to elevate his game. I think those are all things that we didn't think we were going to get when we signed him.
Yeah. No, for sure. So we're going on to round number two. Just a reminder, we're going weekly with our podcast. So hit that follow button wherever you listen to us and don't miss any of our shows. Also, be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. And be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify. Like we mentioned at the start of the show, you just have to click 5-star. And it's important for our show to get exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
Another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah. And taking the time, as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And thanks for listening and watching. Till next time, go Leafs, go!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.